Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience. With Janine and Ingram, and I'm going to get started with one of my favorite songs. Oh my God, I just love this song. And this is Daniel Caesar, The Best Part.
Best part. If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Daniel Caesar, the best part. He said, if life was a movie, then you're the best part. I love, love, love that song. So you know you're going to be hearing more of that. So, you know, this weekend I had a phenomenal, amazing weekend. I want to thank each and every person who came out to celebrate our new show on 95.1 FM, Club Steppin'. It was such an amazing opportunity to see my friends come out and hang out with me on Thursday. And those who didn't, who sent love, texts, emails to say, hey, I appreciate you evolving and becoming more of who you came to the planet to be. I appreciate you. Also, I'm going to say that it's just an amazing opportunity to stay. Somebody said, well, how did you get that show? I said, I just got a call. Somebody called me and said, would I be a part of the 95.1 family? I didn't even really think about being on that radio show. But I tell you, God is amazing. God is so amazing. So let's get ready and tune into the present. And as we invite the presence of the creative energy into this right now moment, we just want to say thank you as we move from our head to our heart. And I want you to become intentional about the breath. You see, there's power in the breath, family, and I just want you to be very intentional about your breathing, breathing in the breath. And I want you to take in the breath by breathing in the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and then releasing the breath, recognizing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Come very intentional, knowing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, many, many names as God. The good, the omnipotent, everywhere present. I want you to take in a deep breath together. Let's breathe deep into the diaphragm. And remember to breathe into the heart, family. Still know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. The can. Family, sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness into this right now moment, recognizing something energetic happens when we release, forgive. There's something magnetic happens when we let go and allow. And together, family, we invite the energetic expression of forgiveness into this right now moment.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Divine Mother, Father God, precious and Holy Spirit, I invite your presence into this right now moment, into this call right now to bring forth a fresh anointing. Come, Holy Spirit, as we invoke and invite all of you into this right now moment, Holy Spirit. As I ask that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will come from my higher mind, beloved, I am present. Father, Mother God, I ask you right now to come and remove all of myself that I may come empty and be filled by the presence of all that you are in me as me right now, God. That every thought I think will be your thoughts and every word I speak will be your words. Come, Holy Spirit, and remove myself, that I may invoke all of you in this right now, Mom. Thank you, God. As we come together in this collective consciousness, asking for a fresh anointing, new wineskin, fresh revelations, God. New revelation. Come, Holy Spirit. As we come right here, right now, to hear the melodic sounds of you, God. Asking you for the dream that you have dreamed for us, God, that we can remove our will and come into the place of the understanding of who and what your goals have been for the gift called us this morning, God. That the goals of our soul would unfold right now, God. That the reason you created each and every one of us will come forth right now, God. That we can hear the melodic sound, that you will lead and guide us, that we can hear the still smallness inside of our heart and be guided by the presence into that place of blessing, that we may unfold the dream of our life that you have for us, God. That we may feel it in our heart right now, God. That we may know it in every cell in our body, God. That we may be directed by that invisible presence that already knows all things. And so in this right now moment, we ask you to come. As we surrender ourselves to you right now, God. As we surrender every part of our life to you right now, God. As we surrender every cell, every muscle fiber, every organ, and every part of our body to you physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. May you come, Holy Spirit, as we surrender into the knowing that you are all we need to know. Thank you, God. As we remove all doubts and anxiety and move into a place of allowance and receiving, God, we thank you. As we open our arms to feel you right now, God, to get the biggest hug from the universe and allow your presence to take over this physical energetic expression right now. To move us into the gift and the purpose that we came to express as you on the planet. Come, Holy Spirit, and let the greater version of ourselves be seen today, God. Allow our eyes to be so blessed in this right now moment that they will be so anointed with the eyes of you, God, that everything we see and every time we look and every time we lock eyes into the presence of ourselves, we will only see the presence of God. I am a presence of who you are in us, God. Bless the spiritual vision of our eyes. Let us see with a 2020 spiritual vision right now, God. Give us spiritual vision to see our own greatness, Holy Spirit. Give us spiritual vision, Holy Spirit, to only see you, even in places where it may be difficult to see the presence of God. Let us see you in all things, God, because your ways are not our ways, God. Let us recognize you even in a challenging time. Holy Spirit, I want you to bless our ears that we can always hear the melodic sound of your voice that resides inside of us, that we can always hear the connection and the true protection and guidance and leading us, knowing that your voice is always audible to the melodic sounds of our ears. Come, Holy Spirit, and let us feel you in our hearts. Let us know you in our heart, God. That we will be so bathed in your love, that the oneness of your loving energy will always be felt in the presence of our heart, God. Come and remove anything, God. Any veils, any fences, anything that keeps us from knowing you in our heart, God. Today, may your presence be felt in the presence of our heart. May you be the coffee we need in the morning. May you be the sunshine in the pouring of the rain. May you be the water in our desert. Because today, may you quench our thirst. May you be our spiritual food that fills every cell, every muscle fiber, and every organ in our body. May our presence of you be invoked that people will see our light miles and miles away today. Come and infuse every cell with your light and love. Infuse every muscle fiber with your light and love. May every thought be infused with your light and love, that our thoughts will only be your thoughts, Holy Spirit. May our words be so filled and infused with your light and love that honey will be tasted in the lips of our mouth, God. May every word and every fruit of our lips be made manifest as you, Holy Spirit. And those who hear the platform of our voices will be felt by you. Your love, come, Holy Spirit, and take over this call today and let your love make manifest the glory in this call. And I release this prayer unto you right now, knowing that nothing shall come back for it. And as we center our mind this morning on the healing presence of God, we send love into the Price family this morning, giving thanks, God, as we ask you to the family of the Price today as they lost, Emir lost his daughter-in-law, his son's fiance yesterday. The baby is in a critical condition. We send love to them all, Holy Spirit, and to the family of Jasmine. We ask you to comfort them today, God, and keep them in the fold of your hand as she moves into her higher space. And Father, Mother God, we ask you to bless the Hill family today as they celebrate the life of Stephen Hill, God, asking you to continue to bless the family as they mourn and as they celebrate. May they be comforted in your love. And any prayers that may be needed to pray that I didn't know, I ask you to bring them forth right now, God, and let it be sent at the altar of your love. If there's any need, want, and desire that anybody has on this line, they may they speak it into this energy, and may it be sent at the feet of your altar today and disintegrated into the light of love. Any concerns, God, may they be turned over to you right now, God, as it disintegrates into the light of love, knowing that it is already done. It is already done in the matchless name of who you are in us. Thank you, God. And so it is.
Amen. 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 Amen, God.
I'm just so grateful, family. I'm so grateful, just one grateful somebody. You know, when you start to live your life on purpose, something beautiful begins to just come together with ease, elegance, and grace. It's just a beautiful thing to know that you can never be left nor forsaken, because our God told us, I'm always there. And so today, as I read from the science of the mind, I just love, it's called The Great Example. There's a quote in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene in the Gnostic. It says, I tell you that the Son of Man is written within you all. Seek him inside, and those who search diligently and earnestly shall surely find him. You see, Jesus was either the great exception or the great example. If he were the great exception, there's little we can do other than admire the spiritual altitude from which he spoke. But if he was the great example, then we should follow the teachings and seek to make it practical in our everyday living. You see, Jesus chose to think of himself as the great example, saying that if he did, we too can do. If we follow the same rules, if we believe in the presence of the Most High and have faith, we shall not understand his teaching unless we keep in mind that Jesus was placing himself in a relationship with the oneness of God that we all should assume. You see, he was demonstrating to those of his day and to those of our day that there's a spiritual power we may use. In no way did he intimate that God gave him a power that is withheld from others. See, check what Jesus said. Jesus said, if what I do shall you do also, and greater things than these shall you do. But see, one thing is certain, the claim of Jesus has never been disapproved. It would be a weak argument to deny the possibility of something which we have not tried. As a matter of fact, those who have even impartially imbibed this in a sense of well-being, see, it is indeed a good thing for us to reevaluate and reemphasize the whole teaching of this mastermind individually and collectively. See, these are the words from a book called Words That Heal Today. It was written in 1949, and this is on page 205 and 206. And I want you to know, family, There's a lot of us who don't believe in the energy or Christ or Jesus walking the planet. But whether your story is true, metaphorically, literally, there is a presence and a consciousness of Christ. And there's many stories and many other texts, maybe not called Jesus, but the stories are very similar. There's something powerful when we connect in the oneness of our consciousness of Christ. And so I want you to realize today to claim your oneness, however you personally believe whether Jesus existed or not, his examples and stories, there's something powerful. You see, I begin to remember the day that I remember thinking about Jesus. I was sitting in the middle of my bed and that if this beautiful spirit called Jesus Christ can turn water into wine, and your word says, God, that I can do these things and even greater, then how can I even just do what Jesus did, God? How can I be Christ on the planet? How can I turn water into wine, these two fish and five loaves of bread, into the multitude, to feed the multitude, Holy Spirit? I'll never forget my nephew one day. Auntie, do you know how to pray? Tell me how I can be down like Jesus. And I still laugh when I think about it. He said, teach me how to be down like Jesus. Oh, and it's just simply getting out of our way, knowing that we can be the presence of Christ on this planet today. Today's affirmations, and I know that nothing is too good to be true. Come on, Holy Spirit. And that nothing is too much for the power that can do anything. Come on, Holy Spirit. Together, I know that nothing is too good to be true. And that nothing is too much for the power that can do anything. Come on, Holy Spirit. Do it again. I know that nothing is too good to be true. And that nothing is too much for the power that can do anything. And this is the last time. I know that nothing is too good to be true, and that nothing is too much for the power that can do anything. These are the words from the science of the mind. And it actually was from yesterday. I love this so much that I wanted to share it with you today. Again, family, I just want to remind you to keep our loving family, Emir J. Otto Price, in the knowing of your third eye, seeing him and his family with love today, as we send him love and light, reminding you that yesterday there was a tragic loss. His son's fiance and baby is in the hospital from a car accident, and we want to keep the Price family and Jasmine's family in the palm of love and light. And today, Stephen Hill will be celebrated, one of our family members, brother-in-law today, Stephen Hill, at the King's, at the Harold Washington. He will be celebrated there today. So I just want us to all keep them in the palm of God's hands and seeing them in love and light today. And that was the science of the mind reading. I love that. I want to remind you today that you have the power. And so we're going to start off, I think I'm going to play my beautiful song, and then we're going to go into beauty, because we're going to talk about something that is unique to creativity and attraction. And we're going to talk about the beauty. We're going to talk about beauty and opulence. You see, there's beauty, there's power in creating beauty in your atmosphere. You know, many people stop by my home and they say, oh, Janine, your house looks like art. My girlfriend stopped by yesterday. I've been knowing her for 20 years. And she said, you know, I was playing music. I had my candles lit. You know, she's like, I don't care if we in your car, we in your house. She said, I've been knowing you for, you know, we've been knowing each other for a long time, since we were 12 years old. She said, you always can make things. She said, even when we was working together, she said, your office was one of the most beautiful offices in the whole. People just love to come in your office. And I had the small little corner office. And I had artwork and candles, you know. But I believe in creating our environment. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about why beauty And these things attract into your life. So let's I'm going to play my favorite song that I'm in love with right now, y'all. I'm just feeling this song. I played it all day yesterday. I know my family's like, oh, my God. But this song makes me feel beautiful, and it reminds me of love. Love for the universe, love from God, love from your partner, friendship. It's just, you ever had life and you just felt so high in every cell in your body? That's how I feel right now. And this song reminds me loving me. This is Daniel Caesar, Best Part. And then we're going to go into our conversation today. Life, and then we're going to talk about beauty, and we're going to be coming from Genesis.
Remember that line by the existentialist philosopher Albert Camus? He used to say life should be lived to the point of tears. And of course, he's referring not to unbearable suffering, I think, but rather to aesthetic bereavement, right? When you're moved by something so beautiful that there's almost a cognitive dissonance between what you're beholding and what you know the average to be, right? Ella de Botton famously wrote that the reason beauty can make us sad is because what it hints at is the exception, is because what it hints at is the ideal. Think about it. The term, of course, is aesthetic arrest. When you witness an architectural form, a painting, a landscape, a spectrum of color that burns itself on your iris, you are arrested. Your cognitive apparatus is beheld in aesthetic arrest. The mythologist Joseph Campbell wrote about it. There's even a syndrome that can happen in these moments. People can be so overwhelmed, transfigurated by beauty, that they can have actual physiological effects like heart palpitations. They can even lose consciousness. We call this Stendhal syndrome. When religious pilgrims visit the Holy Land, like Jerusalem, they stand in front of the synagogue, church, or mosque, and before they know it, they're on the floor. Imagine walking into the Sistine Chapel and looking up at that ceiling. Beauty is an altered state of consciousness. Beauty is an extraordinary moment of poetry and grace. Beauty cracks us open, and as Leonard Cohen said, it is through our cracks that light gets in. So are we all addicted to beauty? Does beauty provide a drug-like high? Do aesthetics matter? I remember watching Jordan Peterson talking about why you need art in your life, and he cited people in a museum looking at the Renaissance portraitures and gawking in astonishment at billion-dollar art collections, and he asked himself, what are they doing? Why does that painting cost $1 billion? Why are people standing in front of it? They don't know what that means. We stand in astonishment, dumbstruck in wonder when we gaze upon art because the transcendence, he says, shines through the matter. You feel the same thing when you walk into a Gothic cathedral. Even the atheists among us are held captive by the light coming in through the stained glass, which is like light going through trees. Beauty arrests because it points to something beyond the everyday. Beauty arrests because it hints at a realm of the sacred. Beauty arrests because it awakens the religious impulse in us. Beauty can shake us out of our jadedness. There can be no cynicism in response to being overwhelmed by the beatific. Form and function matter. And so surround yourself with beauty. Listen to beautiful music. Soundscape your world. Curate your environment. Choose diligently the people you share time with. As McKenna said, you become what you behold. Introduce some art and beauty into your life. It'll seep into your pores. It'll change what lies within. It'll transform the deepest part of you. Let the music make you cry. Gaze upon the fading sunset. Weep before ignore the sadness. Let it take over. Why do we cry when we see something beautiful? Because of the cognitive dissonance that needs to be resolved. The moment of catharsis is the moment of absolution. It's the moment when the wrong becomes right. Open yourself up. Awaken yourself to our common ecstasy.
He said, listen to the music until the music makes you cry. And so I just wanted us to marinate a few minutes on what we just heard. Thank you, Carla. I just wanted you to marinate on what you just heard. Because beautiful art, beautiful music, beauty of the presence of the nature, the beauty of the physical body, the beauty of life, a newborn baby, a full moon lit night, a sunrise or a sunset, the other night, it was a warm night, and I sat on a rock by the water, listening to beautiful music and watching the full moon, the weekend that we had the full moon, and all I could feel as the tears rolled down my eyes is gratitude in my heart, because I believe beauty is synonymous with God. Not beauty as defined as what man or humans may feel beauty is, but the beauty in the presence of something that touches the soul. And so I wanted to talk about that today as we talk about this from Genesis, you know, how the Spirit of the Most High God loves beauty and opulence. And so when we meticulously create our environment, there's something happens when you create an environment filled with beauty. It transcends wherever you are. Now, opulence is defined as wealth, riches, abundance. Beauty is defined in Webster as a combination of qualities that take shape, color, form, that pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight. That pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight. Do you know there's something spiritual that happens when beauty is felt? The other day I was driving down 87th Street, and in Chicago, sometimes 87 can get very, very backed up around 87th and Stony Island. So I'm sitting there and was beginning to get a little, I was beginning to get agitated, and immediately my senses went into the rearview mirror, and I saw the most beautiful sunset that it took me out of the annoyance that I was about to feel. And all I could do was, it went from my head and went straight into my heart, because that's what beauty does. It touches the heart. It touches the soul. And so we need to fill our environment with the presence of beauty, the beauty of art. For me, I love beautiful art. So when you come in my house, you see all the beautiful artwork. some of even my children when they was little. My nephew's 12-year-old piece of art, I framed it and put it in a piece of, and it looked like anybody's Picasso. Meticulously chose the furniture because it had a feel of art. And I asked and blessed my home that every time we walked into it, that we would feel the presence of love, beauty, opulence, and the presence of the Most High energy. So many of us work day in and day out, and we never live in the presence of beauty in our own home. We never create our environments just so that our presence can be felt in our home, that the God presence can be felt in our home. Music, the melodic sounds of whatever sounds that you enjoy, whether it's classical, jazz, or R&B. I'm eclectic, so you might hear anything. You hear classical, jazz, rock. You might hear Sting one day. You might hear 50 Cent another day. You might hear Beethoven another day. Or Thelonious Monk. But I'm a big Miles Davis fan. And when I'm in my creative energy. So I want to talk to us about opulence and beauty. You see, opulence is necessary to your inner and outer success. God pointed this out in his instructions he gave in the book of Exodus for building and a lavishly furnishing the Hebrews' tabernacle. Even though it was a portable place of worship, which was to be moved about in the wilderness, the tabernacle was to be constructed of the most finest material, including acacia woods and goat's hair and ram skin. It was to be furnished with the finest of linens and silver and gold and diamonds. You see, God pointed out the necessity of opulence through the specific instructions given for the clothes that was to be worn by the high priest. The garments was to be made of fine linen and brilliant colors, and they were to be set in gold and adorned with emeralds and diamonds and other precious stones. And it's described in the Bible as garments of glory. They were to be made by skilled workmanship, equivalent to our modern designers like a Michael Kors or Versace. They were to be worn for glory and beauty. Let me say that again. They were to be worn for glory and beauty. This is in Exodus 28:2. You see, I think God loves beautiful things. As a rich, amazing gift to the planet that we are, we are also the priest of God. We are entitled to wear and enjoy the things which enrich our soul and enhance our world. See, this is an important way to get out of the bondage of lack. Developing a prosperous conscience begins from the skin in out. Yes, probably none of us would care to wear the ornate robes that Aaron wore, worn as a high priest of Israel. Yet, we are entitled to all the riches of the Most High, both in our interior and exterior world, all that we can mentally accept and wisely use. See, it's significant that we know that God gave instructions for building a lavish furnishing and tabernacle while the Hebrews were still in the wilderness. Now, I want you to hear this. While they still were in the wilderness, how can we build our environment of beauty and opulence even if we're in our wilderness experience? See, it's significant that Aaron was instructed to wear elegant garments in the barren place. Why? Because right there is that barren wilderness, the Hebrews needed to lift their vision to opulence. I want you to hear this again. Right there in that barren wilderness, the Hebrews needed to lift their vision to opulence and beauty. See, developing an opulent and beautiful consciousness later helped them to get out of that wilderness. Also, they needed to lift their visions to beauty and opulence in order to receive and accept the unlimited abundance that awaited them in their promised land, a wealth that was so multiplied many, many times over the years. See, I want you to begin now in your present circumstances to get ready for the good that you desire. Do what you can to prepare your consciousness to mentally and accept more. You have to make the desert-like places in your life as beautiful, rich, and harmonious as possible if you want to increase your good. Do not sit down and wait for the blessings you want to come to you. Do the most you can with what you have right now. If you want to receive more, then you got to create the energy to receive. See, real estate agents know that the quickest way to sell a house is by fixing it up. Fix up your wilderness. Use what you already have. The Hebrews had gold, silver, and jewels, and the finery, other finery that they had bought from Egypt. They had gained much of their portable wealth through an exchange of assets with the Egyptians at the last minute before departing from Egypt, where they had been forced to leave behind household supplies, hands, and crops. Manasseh had the use of some of the vast portable wealth they had brought with them from Egypt would have violated the law of use. See, do not store up your finest possessions waiting for special occasions for their use. Use them now. This practice only makes you feel rich, but it opens the way for more abundance to come to you. How many of you are still waiting to use your fine china for a special occasion? How many of us are still waiting to use our fine china for a special occasion? You are your special occasion. My mother was good for that. My mother was good for waiting. You know, I would buy her silk pajamas, silk robes. I said, Mom, did you wear your stuff yet? No, baby, I'm waiting on a special occasion. Mom, you are your special occasion. Grandma, a lot of times you come and they got all their fine china in the, I forget what that cabinet was called. You remember them dining room tables of wood and carry-alls or whatever, and they have all that, and then they never use it. Well, I come to tell you today, don't wait for the pastor to come over for dinner to use your fine china. You remember that? You worth using your fine china. See, I go to Saks Fifth Avenue's, it's called Off the Fifth. It's the outlet. And when you go to Saks Fifth Avenue, you may pay $50 for one beautiful stemware, right? Because I love beautiful stemware. And so I would go to the Off the Fifth and get that same glass for $5. But you would think I paid $50 or $100 for these stemwares. And I got beautiful hand-painted stemware. And I drink my water and squeeze my lemon and walk around with my beautiful stemware and give thanks. I'm not waiting for somebody special to come to drink out of my special stemware because I'm special enough for my special occasion to use what I have now. We got to enjoy the beauty of life, family. We got to create the ambiance no matter where we are, even if we're in a desert experience, to use what we have right now and create a beautiful and opulent environment. I read a story once about a guy who, it was called The Surprise Inheritance. He had two sons. This man had two sons, and when he passed on, his father left a farm to each of his two sons. The elder son received a home place, which was prosperous because it was situated in a fertile valley. The other son received a farm in a distant state. When he expected his inheritance, this son was so disappointed. His farm consisted of several hundred acres of wasteland with a shack and some outstanding buildings on it. It was all icky, and they were all badly in need of repair. It was not even a well for water. The son was bitter over his inheritance. But the son thought, what could I raise on this rocky, waterless wasteland? He returned home to his rented farm for several years, struggled, barely making a living. He brooded bitterly over the great injustice of his father's will. How could his father do this to him, he thought. His brother was prospering from the farm he had inherited. One day while listening to the radio, the second son heard the speaker say, live today and begin now doing the thing you want to do. Begin now being the person you want to be and begin now with what you have. Your opportunity lies within yourself and God will help you when once you have made the start. And these words spoke to his heart. It haunted him Begin now with what you have. He went to sleep, and all he could hear is, begin now with what you have, and God will help you when you have made the first step. So he decided he must do the best he could with what he had. If he wanted to receive more, he stopped criticizing the barren farm. He decided to appreciate it and fix it up. He settled on the farm in a distant state and began working it. And the first thing he did was hire a man to help drill for water. After many days of backbreaking work, there was no sign of water. And when discouragement tried to set in, he remembered the words, God will help you if you just make the first step. He persevered. After a day of deep drilling for water with no results, this man went to bed more depressed than ever. The next morning, his small son awakened. Daddy, Daddy, come quick. Come, hurry up. Black water is coming out the well. Black water? That black water was oil. This man had become an instant millionaire. And in a few days, he received a note from his father's attorney, which enclosed a letter from his father. And this is what it read. He said, when you receive this message, you will have discovered the treasure that was hidden in your land. He said, years ago, I had learned there was oil in this property. And I never told anyone because I wanted you to find it. I'm aware that you and your family have suffered hardship in moving into this place, but I'm sure you agree that the reward you have found is more than worth the sacrifice you made. This is your land, son. Develop it, enjoy it, and you will prosper. I love you, son. And then a postscript read, and you won't need to dig for water anymore. You'll find a well under the mound of rocks in the yard. I covered it, so you will have to dig a well and discover the oil. And I thought, wow, the story touched my soul, and I wanted to share it with you because I want to remind you. You see, many of us may not have an inheritance from our parents that we have to dig for well, but we are an inheritance from the universe. That if we dig with the well within us, there will be black oil coming from us in ways that we could never think, ask, or imagine. You see, when we talk hard times, we're sowing hard seeds. Let me say that again. When we talk hard times, we are sowing hard time seeds. And by sure the law of growth, that is the kind of harvest we will reap. Do not say money is scarce. The very statement will scare away money. Never say that times are hard with you. Such words will tighten your purse strings so that money cannot get into it. Today, I want you to deliberately think plenty, talk plenty, and give thanks for plenty for yourself and for others, and never condemn anything in your home. If you want new furniture, new clothes to take the place of what you have, do not say what you have is old or shabby. Watch your words and see that you talk like the queen and the kings that you are. Picture yourself in your home as you would like it to be. Bless what you have. Appreciate it. Fix it up, and your actions will multiply your good. Now, we're talking about a home, but what if we took that and let's decide to talk about our bodies? How many of us are condemning the temple of God? Come on, family. How many of us, every time we look in the mirror, is condemning and criticizing? Never condemn your body. If you want a renewed body to take place of what you have, do not say that your body is old and your body is this and that. Watch your words. You got to learn how to talk like the queen and the king you are. Picture your body. Picture your body being what you want it to be. Picture your body being in perfect health. See your body being in its perfect weight and size for you. Everybody don't have the same size and shape. But there's a perfect divine process for your own body. Bless your body. Appreciate it. Dress it up in opulence and beauty, and your actions will multiply more of the good. You see, even opulence and beauty can work in levels of relationship. I read this story. A woman's husband became interested in someone else. And when she realized that this woman felt as though she was in a wilderness, she brooded over the situation until she realized that she must live as normal as possible if she wished to correct an abnormal situation. The day her husband asked for a divorce, he expected a scene. Instead, his wife said, divorce is so final, baby. Let us be sure. She said, I will give you a divorce in 3 months if you still want it then. Relieved, he agreed. This woman decided to make the best instead of the worst of the situation. She began to fix up her wilderness by putting more effort into her home. She tried to make things as beautiful and as pleasant as possible. She took more pains with her cooking and put more beauty and love in her cooking. And even with her personal appearance, she began to create beauty and opulence as though nothing was wrong. She became active in her book club again. She began to take dance lessons and allowed the music to move her soul. She took up several different hobbies, and she ceased questioning her husband's coming and going. And when she did the best she could with the abnormal circumstances, they improved. Her husband ceased being away so much. Their life together resumed a more normal pattern. He began coming home for dinner again every night, quietly reading before the fires, even after dinner. One morning, 3 months later, she asked, is it about time we made a decision about the divorce? Blankly, yes. Who wants a divorce? I love this story. You see, the law of opulence can be applied to even one's health. A lady once suffered from arthritis, kept thinking when her health was better, she would work in her flower garden again. She also vowed to get back to her professional writing when she felt like it. As long as she kept waiting, no improvements came. So she felt worse, and the weeds sprung up in her garden, and her writing ideas haunted her. Finally, she realized that it would be necessary to make the best of her present health. If she wanted it to improve, she had to stop criticizing her health. So she stopped talking about her arthritis. She went out into the flower garden, and she began to boldly pull weeds, even though it was physically painful. Later, she went into her study and worked on an article about gardening. Then she headed for the kitchen and made her husband's favorite pie. And though she didn't feel much like it, she reasoned that she could not just sit down and wait to be healed. She had tried that and it had not worked. She felt God would help her now that she had made a start to live again. And as she purposely worked in her flower garden daily, she began to feel better. She began to realize that when you do what you love and you love what you do, like she loved the flowers, she loved the dirt, she became one with the garden. Gradually, the pain began to subside. Her writings and her homework on a normal perspective, and finally, she was leading a more normal, productive life, but nothing had improved until she made this step toward it. See, it pays to fix up the barren spots in our life. Live as normal as possible when faced with abnormal conditions. Do the best you can with what you have and open the way to opulence and beauty. And to help you make a start, declare, I begin now to talk plenty, think plenty, and give thanks for plenty. I use what I have with wisdom. I make the best of my present situation and knowing that the Most High God will help me out as I make a start, because opulence and beauty is my divine right. Let's say that together. Opulence and beauty is my divine right, and I claim it in every phase of my world. I dare to fix up my wilderness experience. I want you to think about how can we, right now, whoever is experiencing, to fix up their environment. You see, it's something powerful about creating beauty. You see, you feel the presence of God in a beautiful piece of music. You see, when the music touch your soul and tears begin to run down your eyes. Or when you sit in the beauty of the full moonlight and you feel the presence of God. You see, I've come to understand that beauty and God are synonymous. Beauty in God is synonymous, a beautiful artwork. If we want to create an environment that speaks volumes to our heart and feel the richness of all that God is, then we should meticulously create our environment, our beauty, our presence. You see, the children of Israel understood that. They knew there was no shortcuts in developing a prosperity consciousness of opulence and beauty. A spiritual consciousness is, and a beautiful consciousness is the result of developing our inner space. Our appreciation opens the way for expansion of our own consciousness of opulence. Today, what can we do to create that environment? You see, the Hebrews developed such an opulence consciousness in the wilderness that Moses had to finally restrain them because it wasn't enough room to receive all the blessings. They had to restrain the blessings even before they got into the promised land. See that? I call it the prosperity law of opulence and beauty. It's a very powerful way to get out of that limited process in our mind and move right into the promised land of love. And when we create that environment, our consciousness, it will be impressed upon our consciousness. And our consciousness will know no other process other than abundance, beauty. And so today I want you to know that you were meant to be prosperous. You were meant to have all the things that God has planned for you and more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. You came into this world divinely supplied. You brought your wealth with you in the form of your talents and your mind power. We shouldn't be having any financial lack. We should already be all that we already in the physical world. We should already be rich because we're rich in mind, and we should be rich in the outward manifestation because poverty is not a part of God's plan for our life. But it's a part of our blindness to God's unlimited good for ourselves. See, when we think of the word opulence, it means wealth, riches, abundance. And as a child of this universe, as in oneness with our Creator, created in the Most High's image, we should be living opulently and beautiful in this lavish universe that has much to provide for us. And as we wake into the prosperous truth about ourselves, about the universe, we will find our soul longing for the beauty and the opulence that is ours by divine right. Do not suppress your longing for it. Do not ignorantly say that you are becoming materially minded because you deserve to be wealthy spiritually and materially. You deserve whatever Bentley's, Hondas, Lexus, whatever your heart desire, you deserve it. Just like we can ask for a Honda, we can ask for a Bentley. Just like we ask for, God, can you give me enough money to pay my rent and my mortgage? But we can ask for God for a house that is already financially free. But take the limits off your thinking. And the more we create happiness and abundance, the more we can open our and expand our consciousness to move what God has for us. And the more we study the truth about ourselves, about the universe, the more sensitive we will become to beauty and happiness. The more your soul will long for it in your life, the more your soul will feed on the wealth and the beauty of the universe. Increased abundance will give you a sense of peace and satisfaction that nothing else can. Nothing else can. I can't tell you how beautifully open I am when I'm laying in the grass looking up at the sun or the stars or the moon and listening to melodic sounds of some great music and how rich and abundant it feels to my soul. When my soul is so, so satisfied. Y'all remember that song? So satisfied. Yes. And tears run down your eyes because you just feel it in your soul. You feel it in your body. You feel it in every cell. There's something beautiful that happened. You see, the Bible's great leaders lived opulent, and many of them became millionaires as they used the law of opulence and beauty. That's even available to us. And remember now, Moses was criticized by the followers in the wilderness experience, but he never was criticized for teaching them how to prosper. They didn't stop Moses for teaching them how to use the spiritual law. See, Moses had even learned the prosperity law of opulence and beauty when he was a prince at the court of Pharaoh. See, this knowledge coupled with faith in God as the source of his supply enabled Moses to provide for his followers over a 40-year period in the wilderness. He did it in both mystical and practical ways. The Hebrews were supplied so abundantly during their wilderness wanderings that they did not have to wear old clothes, nor were they without shoes. Their large flocks were supplied with an abundance of wool, leather, which they used for garments and shoes. And even today, even in the East, women and men have good clothes and shoes, and they're considered to be very well-to-do when we see somebody wearing quality clothes and shoes. And when they're not well-dressed, they're not welcome in many places and social events in the East. But see, the Hebrews lacked nothing during their wilderness sojourn. They were considered well-to-do. You see, the Most High provided for all their needs. And they were later reminded, these 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. That's in Deuteronomy 2 and 7. And when I think about my wilderness experience, all I can do is just thank God. You see, the Lord said in Deuteronomy 2 and 7, these 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, that has lacked nothing, nothing, even in the wilderness experience. Tell me about our God. You can't tell me how good our God is, because I know. God sure looks good on me, even in my wilderness experience. And so today, family, I want us to enjoy the beauty of life right where we are. It's nothing like a beautiful song that brings you to tears. The beauty of love and the gratitude of loving someone and someone loving you. Loving you to the soul level of your being. That sometimes the hugs and the intertwine of a spiritual exchange can bring you to tears just being in their presence. A newborn baby, a full moon lit night, a beautiful sunrise, and the warmth of the kiss of the sun. The golden time of the day when the sun is releasing his presence, and the fall of life when the trees are gold and the leaves are turning gold and orange. Life takes on this beautiful state. Today, my message is to give thanks for that beauty. But sometimes we're so caught up in our world, running from place to place, trying to do this, trying to do that, efforting, and never allowing and not being present. The girlfriend asked me the other day, she said, you know, you walk slow and methodically through life. I said, because I want to experience every morsel, every meal. Even when I eat my food, I want to experience God in every morsel of my meal. I want to experience God when I look in the eyes of my grandbaby and know God is. When I'm with my girlfriends and I look in their eyes and see the beauty and the presence of their love and the receptivity of our conversation, I know that's God, you know. I got a phone call from someone that I hadn't saw in a while. On Saturday we had lunch and we was going to go to Pizza Capri. But we drove past down on 53rd Street and I saw this place, and the beauty of the place stopped my got my attention. And I remember saying, do you mind if we go here? Because I could be very impulsive. And some people, they don't like change. It's like if we say we're going to do this, this is what we're going to do. And some people get a little irritated with the fact that I'm kind of impulsive. So I was like, do you mind if we, you know, have stop here and see? It's so beautiful. It reminded me of Miami. It was, they had this little space with flowers and outdoor couches and flowers and fireplace, and the fire was going, and it was just, and lights. It was just so pretty. I didn't even know if it was a restaurant. So I just wanted to go there. And when we went there, oh, my God, it was so elegant and so beautiful. It had beautiful artwork. The food was, presentation was beautiful. And the lady that was sitting down before us, I asked her how she had a vegetarian, I don't know, some kind of vegetarian meal. And she said it was absolute. She said the vegetables were crunchy, but it was really good. I guess she liked her vegetables cooked more. I like my vegetables crunchy. So I was like, wow, perfect for me. And I was just thinking, and so it was just so pleasant to be in the company of someone I hadn't seen in a while, beautiful jazz coming out, the melodic sounds of the music and the art, and all I could think, this is God. And the conversation, it was God. And all I could remember is thinking, I'm so grateful to experience God in all that I do. So we went by this garden that he said on 51st and Willow, that he was really distraught by the fact that nobody's taking care of it. It is a beautiful work of art, and it is a lot of weeds and stuff growing around it. And so we sat there and looked at the beautiful pieces of art that was inside of this this land that it used to be a garden, but nobody has been working in it or whatever. I guess they just left it. And it's so beautiful. But it was even beautiful with the weeds to me, but he was like, you know, but to me, I still saw God in it. I saw the beautiful, whoever had the vision to even create it and maybe didn't have the money and the vision or whatever, it was still so beautiful. If something happens beautiful when you can experience God in all you do, when you sit with your meal and enjoy God as you bring the meal into your body, something happens when you can receive love through the exchange of conversation and be very present in that moment, you can receive God's opulence and beauty. So today, I just wanted to bring something to your attention and just be cognizant of what you're doing in your environment. Are you creating opulence and beauty in your environment? Are you experiencing God in all that you do? I mean, are you allowing yourself to feel? Are you allowing yourself to feel? Because there's something powerful that happens when you can feel the beauty of life. And so that's my message for today. I don't really have a lot to say. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can press 1 on Blog Talk and star 6 on the teleconference line if there's anything you want to add, if you had any questions, comments, or concerns. I wanted to talk about the beauty and opulence. It's been a weekend of amazing things. You know, a lot of people are celebrating Breast Awareness Month. I call it Love Your Breast. And I just thought God is so amazing. This lady she had a double mastectomy. And when she took off her shirt to show us her scars, it was something beautiful that happened to me to share her beautiful body with no breasts, none, and to honor her body and see that it was still beautiful. Good morning. You're on the air. 202-8327 is the last four.
Good God morning, Miss Lady Love. How are you?
Good morning.
I am Rosa
I'm
J. I know you are. And I am so grateful to be in the overflow. Girl, you have said a mouthful today. You know, when situations arise, one of the things that I have realized is the greatest words that you can say is thank you. Thank you for this lesson that I will learn today and move past. The more we stay in gratitude, no matter what the physical appearance is, show up as, the quicker we get out of it and the faster we find a solution to. It is just so amazing to become aware of the words, the thoughts that you think, the feelings that you have, and the words that you speak upon. Because you know what? In the beginning, God didn't say, I think I'm going to make a world. I think I need some water. I think he said, let it be. Mm-hmm. And it was water. So we are co-creators, and we actually, whether we want to believe it or not, we create the world that we are in. You want to get out of it? Change your thoughts, your words, and your feelings about the situation. You know, a lot of times in my experience, I end up in the hospital for whatever reason. And one of the things that I do when I'm there, even if I can't consciously form words or pray or any of that, the one thing that I can say is thank you. Thank you that I am still here and things will get better. You know, things will get better if I feel, speak, and know that they will. God's got us, and our only lesson here is to learn to listen and act as he asks and directs us. So what you said today, my darling, I hope a whole lot of people heard you and will begin today practicing being grateful and seeing things as we desire them to be, not as they are, not as we want them to be, not any of that, but as we desire them to be, because we know we can have it. You are amazing, my sister. And I love that story about the woman and the wife. I love the story about the two sons. You know, it's the same thing about Lot and Abraham. Lot chose this prosperous land, and Abraham's land was barren. But God told him that he was going to make him a king of many and a land of prosperity, and that's what turned up. Sometimes it looks like we got a barren piece of nothingness. And in that, if we just stay there and cultivate it and keep moving forward, it becomes amazingly abundant in ease and effortlessly. You just have to work, and the rest of it shows up. I am grateful for you, Jabrine. Janine, you actually just talking about what I was talking about today. Have a great God day.
Thank you, Rosa J. I appreciate you. All right. 773-4-1-8-8-6. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, great morning, grand morning, grand rising and all.
Great
that.
Rising.
I enjoyed your whole program. And thanks, Rosa, for those comments. You know, we here in Chicago, Mama Joy from Chicago, and we just got over the Jason Van Dyke trial.
Sure.
And I thought about what you were reading today, and I thought about how, and I've heard you speak on this before, and the emphasis of living in appreciation and appreciating everything about you, appreciating about my, you know, what I possess. And so I get in my car and I talk to it and I pat it in a loving way and tell it how much I appreciate how it serves me. And I must admit that the car has been performing very, very well for me. And I feel that everything that I'm involved in, when I genuinely express appreciation, that something is happening in my life where I am, and something is happening in the awaiting of my next moments, I feel that it's making a way for me. I thought about my grandma and the treasure that someone else was able to embrace, because she had a whole chest filled with, some amazingly beautiful gifts, pearls, diamonds, beautiful clothes that she never wore because she was always waiting for that special moment. But getting back to the Laquan and this 50-year historical making, I start thinking, wow, what an opportunity for us to be able to take that moment and to really build on it in a way of appreciating of a breakthrough. A breakthrough because one thing it stood out with that, Van Dyke was guilty of everything but official misconduct. And the reason why he was not guilty of that, because it was the training the police received, that he was justified in what he did. It was the same thing that Rodney King officers were found not guilty, again, of official conduct. And when we see these areas where these weeds, like this lady that you spoke of, with the weeds, had arthritis, and it was painful. It was hurting, but she had a vision. She had a desire for something good for herself. Wouldn't it be nice if we could start developing that vision as individuals and sharing that with each other? And all that we've been through and all the suffering that's done, but to be able to take these moments where God cracks a little light to say, hey, here's some weeds here. Let's plant some flowers. What can we do to change that culture, but also understand that we've got to work on ourselves to change the culture of our own mind, our own soul, our own thoughts, and our own words, knowing that when we do that, God will open up and allow us to plant flowers and hope and love and places where there is none for us. And I think it's time we'll all be blessed as a result. Are you kind of getting the picture? Or am I clear? I hope so. Thank you so much for your love and your time and your faithfulness of serving us. God bless you.
Thank you, Mama Jure. I appreciate you and Rosa. Thank you for tuning in this morning and making a comment. Again, I just want to remind you that there's something powerful that happens when we create beauty and opulence in our environment. It changes the consciousness, it calms the spirit, and it brings a receptivity that allows us to receive and not in an efforting way, but in an effortless way, meaning we begin to allow the spirit of the universe to do what it do without a lot of stress. So I want you to create an environment for you that creates opulence, beauty, and peace. Many people ask me, Janine, how do you stay so peaceful? How do you stay so calm? Because I create my environment. My bathroom is my spa. If you ever come in my bathroom, I get candles everywhere, artwork everywhere. It's beautiful to me. It may not be, it's not, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now, I've been complimented by many people, but it didn't matter if people like it or not, because beauty is what I like. Beauty is what you like. And so today's conversation is about creating that beauty and happiness around our environment. Creating that beauty and happiness in the way we dress our bodies and how we feel about our health and how we create that and how we do what we do, how we experience God. Our lessons are going to be more about how to experience God. We've been intellectualizing God for too long. But are we really experiencing God? You know, it's a difference when you read the Bible and you intellectualize the passages, when you go to church and you intellectualize what you heard today, or when you come to the Love Journey and you intellectualize what you heard. But when you embody it in your heart, that's when you move into your promised land. You see, the real reason, and I know I'm going to say the real metaphysical reason why Moses didn't enter into his promised land is because Moses stayed in his head. Moses never felt good enough. Moses never felt he was deserving, even though he lived an amazing, prosperous life. He really didn't miss a beat. But to experience more of the promised land, you need to do what Joshua did, which was embody it in the heart. You see, Joshua took what he learned from Moses and then embodied it from the heart and took the people right into the promised land. Right into the promised land. And so today, and as we move into 2019, I'm going to bring more lessons to teach us how to move from intellectualizing God to embodying God in our heart. And one of the things that helps us to embody God in our heart is the art of beauty and the art of opulence. And that comes with things that makes us feel. Love makes us feel. Art makes us feel. Music makes us feel. And we have to become a feeling people again. We are not people who feel anymore. We become homogenized to all the stuff that's physically happening in the world, and we lose in touch with our heart, communication with our heart. We texting, emailing, and all this communication, but none of it is coming from the heart. And so today, I want us to learn how to experience God from the heart. And that's what I really want us to do. So today my message is for us to really get this in the body. I want you to know that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And to remember, don't just dream, but live, feel, and experience your God-sized dream. What is it that the soul essence of you came to the planet for? What is the design and the purpose and the dream that God has for you? God is praying for you to say yes. Have a fabulous day, family. And this is Daniel. See that you've been tuned in to the love journey, the love experience, which you need. Mm-hmm. Reminding you that you are my son. And you are my son.
You don't know pain when you hold me and kiss me slowly. It's the sweetest thing, and it don't change. If I had it my way, you would know that you are. You're the coffee that I need in the morning. You're my sunshine in the rain when it's going. Won't you give yourself to me? Give it all. I just wanna see. I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see.
So nice. You're my water when I'm stuck in the desert. You're the talent all I take when my head hurts. You're the sunshine of my life. I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see it. I know you're a star. Follow no matter how far. If life is a movie, then you're the best part. say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you?
All right, if life was a movie, then you are the best part.